This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Chapter 19. Hunger, Mood and Weight. When blood sugar levels plummet down, the nafs, being responsible for your survival, detects this and creates a feeling of hunger. This feeling also impairs the ability to think clearly or do other things, because survival is a priority. The nafs is trying to protect you. Plus, the brain gets its energy from only two sources, sugar or ketones. If these levels are low, you can't think properly, you can get angry or irritable, and there's even a modern word for that very urgent and unpleasant feeling. They call it hangry, combination of hunger and anger. We've learned how insulin is the main hormone connected with your body weight. So let's go through the steps of what happens after you eat. After you eat, your blood sugar level goes high. And this is also detected by the brain. And it sends a signal to the pancreas, an organ inside your belly, to release insulin. Insulin then goes round your body in the blood, telling all of the tissues to take in sugar from the blood for use inside your tissues. And any excess sugar is combined to make bigger molecules, glycogen and then fat. The middle stage, glycogen, is important, but we'll leave that out for our purposes just to keep things simple. After not having eaten for some time, sugar levels are low. The nafs detects this and tells the pancreas not to make insulin, along with releasing some other hormones. These are, if you like, anti-insulins, which then go around the body telling the tissues to break down the fat or break down the glycogen to create ketones, which your body and brain can use perfectly for energy. Order is restored and you can think clearly again and get on with your day, as long as you have fat to burn, which most people do. The other big thing that happens when insulin is low is a process of cleaning up. This process, the body starts scavenging around for unwelcome substances and excess tissues, things like cancer cells and infection agents. So your immune system and natural cancer prevention systems are more active in this fasting state. This is supported by the evidence that people who fast more often are less prone to cancer overall. Let's look at the other key organs and functions. The brain is also connected to the resting metabolism of your body. It detects things such as how much oxygen is in your blood, how full your stomach is. So it controls such things as your heart rate, your breathing rate, how full you feel, and how busy your gut is. This is why it's so calming to slow down your breathing rate deliberately. Emotions are very exhausting. They use a lot of energy in the brain compared to other processes. Breathing slowly, taking longer to exhale than inhale, like in the 5-10-10-5 method, relies on something called the diving reflex. Again, a survival instinct from the nafs, wired to help you survive if you're underwater. It indicates that oxygen is scarce, and as a result, the brain slows down the expensive emotional centers. Let's examine emotions. The nafs is basically a center for emotions and instincts and drives. Hunger, anger, love, seeking shelter, nurturing, pleasure seeking, you name it. They're all headquartered there. As a result of this, we can see how emotions themselves are involved in the crosstalk with such things as hunger, panic, heart rate, and so on. And so, if we don't think clearly, we can easily get those things mixed up and end up feeling false hunger, for example. The emotions are related to how well fed you are, but interestingly, they respond quite sensitively to swings in blood sugar. In essence, if you eat sugary foods, or foods high in carbohydrates, which are basically made of chains of sugar molecules like starch, then your insulin levels swing up and down a lot, because your body is trying to control that sugar level. And this can make your emotions swing up and down too. If you don't notice this in your emotions, you may notice it in cognition. That is, how well you can concentrate and think clearly. Swings in sugar and insulin are not good for your mental stability or your self-control, because the nafs is either over or under aroused, and therefore your intellect, which is easily overpowered by your emotions, feels like it is subject to an on-off switch all of the time. Anytime your emotions are very active, the blood supply to your intellect is physically reduced. It's no wonder we find it hard to think clearly or make good judgments when in the grip of emotions. We also suffer in our ability to know if we are emotional or not. You may notice that in the heat of anger, you often believe that you're calm. You may even have a steady voice. But this is not the true detached kind of calmness. It's actually a white-hot emotion, which imitates calm for wanting to appear in control. These simple examples underline how everything we eat is connected to the way we think and how intensely we feel our emotions too. The link is not direct, in that some people have good emotional stability regardless of what they eat. But for most people, we experience some vulnerability in emotions according to our diet. This is especially relevant when we're under stress or if we're processing something troublesome such as trauma or any kind of difficulty. The important thing to know is that people who struggle with stability of emotions can benefit more than others when it comes to stabilizing their blood sugar level. End of chapter.